Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Notice! Notice! This midweek mini was recorded several months ago and may not be up to date with current events. For fresh minisode uploads with every episode, head to patreon.com/chilluminatipod.
That's a mini-sode right there.
That's mini-sode 240.
That sure is a mini-sode there.
Here, my little Chilluminauts, we've got guest Abby here with us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you.
When this hits the public airwaves, this is Abby Denton, who was on like episode, what, 310. So we're in through time and space. You have now guested on the show twice.
Oh my God. AbbyDenton.com.
That's actually what a... I have to be first, and I have to take that segue of time and space, Alex. I have to. It's too perfect, because that's what I bring to the table today. I learned about two interesting little thought experiments that kind of show you the weirdness that time isn't really real. So have you ever heard of the Andromeda Paradox?
I haven't. I legit thought you were going to say, have you ever heard of Doctor Who?
Yeah.
No. It sounds familiar, but I don't know what it is at hand.
So I'm just gonna paint out the picture of what this thought experiment is. So imagine you, Alex, are standing on a sidewalk out in L.A.
Done.
on a random ordinary Tuesday. It doesn't really fucking matter.
Got
and
it.
Then
yesterday.
Abby walks past you, heading the opposite direction toward the shops, heading east.
While 46 miles stroll, an hour.
Yeah, exactly. And while you, Alex, turn and start walking west instead. Now. According to Einstein's special relativity, you and Abby, if you were to both now take a moment and look toward Andromeda, and like if you had a magic camera that could show you Andromeda in detail, you would be seeing Andromeda weeks apart, even if you are right next to each other.
Why?
Because that's how relativity works. So Abby is walking at 3 miles per hour, and you're walking slower than her. Because of the difference in the moment of reference of now for you is different when one is moving. Speed, all right. Remember, if you're staying still and someone is walking, they're experiencing time nanoseconds less than you, or even smaller than that. It's the reason that astronauts who go out in space and come back end up being like behind in like their time biologically.
Right.
So you take that little moment of time where, say, we'll even simplify it. Alex, you're not moving and Abby is the one moving, and she's walking by you and you're standing still, and you both in that moment turn and look at Andromeda with your special camera that shows Andromeda. You would see Andromeda weeks apart, technically, because Abby's reference of now, even if it's nanoseconds or smaller, less than yours here, as it cascades and builds on itself over the course of 2.5 million light years.
Yeah, exponentially enough.
The light that is reaching your eyes because you're moving versus your eyes, Alex, when you're not, would be about three, I think the math technically is like 2 to 3 weeks apart in difference, so, which immediately just shows time isn't exactly super linear. That it's based on Einstein's theory of relativity. It's built out of that equation. And it's just because you move. If I get up and I start walking and you sit, say, there, I am experiencing time differently than you, even if it doesn't feel like it or is noticeable.
It's so hard to.
It goes with that idea of like, remember, photons travel faster than sound waves. You're technically receiving what you're seeing before you receive what you hear. But right. Your brain takes that. And over the course of like a 200, some small, less than a second of a second of a second, syncs it up in your brain so that you experience them simultaneously, even though they're not. There's always a delay there. And like even on the smallest scale. So now you extrapolate that. You're not moving. Abby's moving. She's experiencing time slower than you are or faster than you are, I think, because I'm trying to think. You go out for a week if you're like a light year and come back. Yeah, you would experience time faster, technically.
It's so
hey, are you calling me slow?
No, Alex is the slow
it's
one.
It's so
okay?
fucked up trying to place that in some sort of like tangible experiential mindset. Yeah,
the way it's explained, as they say, is like the math is actually kind of simple. When you move relative to something far away, your plane of now, imagine it's like a slice cutting through a loaf of space-time bread. Tilts ever so slightly over the distance to your neighbor's house. This is like the you wouldn't notice it if you were like on Earth. You're just not going to notice it next to each other. But then you take that line and you stretch it out 2.5 million years, and the cascading effect of the light traveling all that distance is now weeks of difference between what you're seeing and what Abby would be seeing if you both looked up at the same time. It's just like time relativity in action.
I think what would happen in real life is I would be like, Abby, are you also looking at fucking Andromeda?
Yeah.
What do you do?
It's fascinating.
Big fan of Andromeda. It's a cool place. I love Kevin Sorbo. I love Gene Roddenberry.
That's
it's
true.
Match made in heaven.
It's a perfect, like,
now that is aging me.
Andromeda is like yin yang. Like that's like the force of Kevin Sorbo and the force of Gene Roddenberry ideologically are so different and so amazing.
Yeah,
that they work
very
together.
Very different.
Yeah,
I just thought that was fascinating because I just love, again, I love that shit where like for reality sure. is very wobbly. It's not really like if you get small enough, I think it's like the minus 36 something of a Planck, time and space no longer matter. They're just not part of the equation anymore. Like time and space is something that's built out of as we get bigger and higher on the scale of like size. It's weird.
I'll have to tell podcast host Dave Bulmer about that. There's no overlap here, but I've spent the last 5 years telling him that he's small whenever I'm on his podcast, and he started having stress dreams where he shrinks down into nothing. And,
that's amazing.
And it's you. Are you in the dream? Like,
I have apparently like laughed at him for his sight.
Like a Simpsons hallucination.
I have given this poor man a complex, and
this poor little man.
you shouldn't bully someone that much smaller than an atom.
That's rude.
I was slightly self-conscious that I'm like I'm like 5'9" and he's like like 5'6". And I was so self-conscious of being slightly taller, and I just bullied him for it, and that's how
it's pretty
how bullies
good.
Operate, you know.
The
you
three of us are like the three of us are like a cell phone reception bar.
Me. Like, so how differently do we perceive Andromeda standing at our heights?
I mean, technically,
oh my god,
it'd be different.
We should try and sync Andromedas one time, you guys. If you guys want to just like meet up in the desert one time and just try and like do peyote and sync our Andromeda cameras.
Have you ever had synchronized Andromedas with a partner? Like, there's no better feeling.
I gotta try.
It's just you're looking at it and you're like, that's
what we're
gonna
do.
We're both under the same Andromeda.
How are we gonna take mushrooms and sync our Andromedas in a few weeks?
Yeah, can't wait to sync my Andromeda, dude. I don't even know why syncing is part of it.
I don't either. That's all I have. I just wanted to mess with
doing your time. Doing a heist, synchronize Andromedas now.
Synchronize Andromeda heist. It would make heisting Andromeda very difficult.
It might take multiple cell phones to do so, which is a perfect segue into my article from CTV News, in which a 20-year-old woman in Brazil was found dead on a bus on Tuesday. apparently she was treated on the bus. She was succumbing to cardiac issues, and then glued to her body was 26 iPhones, and the iPhones were some of them, for some reason, one of the sentences in this article is dedicated to letting us know that some of the iPhones were refurbished. Cool. And so she was dying. So she was dying on this bus for 45 minutes as paramedics tried to save her, who were like all weirdly ignoring the 26 iPhones that were glued to her, literally glued to her. And then there was a bunch of liquor in her luggage. So what people think happened was that she was some kind of like cell phone smuggler who got way too lit on a bus, like on booze, and like died with a bunch of iPhones glued to her body. So apparently, like, that's a thing that happens. What if
she's just a mutant and iPhones
like grow from her body,
just like fly to her and get stuck on her?
You know what that, you know what that mutant will be called?
And gave her a heart attack.
You know what that mutant will be called? iPhone.
I hate how simple and clever it is all at the same time.
Monster.
That is all I have. And
R.I.P.
That would be a much more effective mutant power than you'd think. Because like anytime your enemy is like, I got to look up like the reactive weight of radium or whatever so I can thwart your plan. And you're just like, no, you can't.
Here's a refurbished iPhone 9.
Dude, and then you give it to the guy who everybody forgets is there when they look away, and the iPhone is just gone forever, and they'll never know.
You'll never be able to use Apple Pay or whatever.
You can make money pretty quick, too, I feel like.
Yeah,
even if they're refurbished, like, that's a couple hundo a piece, probably, at least.
At least.
So to round us out today, Abby's going to be reading a story from r/Chilluminati Pod, where you can go if you're listening to this in real time and post your LA listener story for LA month. We're currently one week before Manson 2, 1 week after Manson 1 in Mathis Does Los Angeles with Abby Denton. So if you're there with us in real time and our Andromedas are in sync, go leave a story about Los Angeles in the pinned post at the top. But Abby's going to be reading for us a non-Los Angeles story today from Yoka the Changeling called UFO Encounter.
Feel free to read it on the pod. Thank you, Yoka the Changeling. Yeah. May I say, Yoka the Changeling, I'm a tremendous fan of your username. It just sounds cool. It sounds like one of Sonic the Hedgehog's friends.
It sounds like a good long, long history one that's been with them for a while. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It feels like the type monster that I would see like in sixth grade, like that people would keep till they're like older. Like it's
I had one of those. Oh god.
Yeah. I bet Yoka the Changeling was like in one of the Sonic arcade games that like no one had, because it was like it had a trackball, so no one could bring it over. You couldn't reuse the cabinet. And so like no one believed anyone that there was this like secret Japanese character that no one knew about.
Yoka the Changeling.
And then you're like, Yoka the Changeling and all these fan characters. And then years later you're like, there's that guy in my face.
You found a trading card at the Mitsuo.
Yeah. Okay. I have no idea what voice you have, Yoka the Changeling, so I will simply try to sound cool.
Hell yeah.
I feel like these types of stories are a dime a dozen, but I thought, why not throw it into the pile anyway? Maybe some details will catch your eye. It's a story that happened to a father of my friend, and I know how it sounds that I heard it from a guy who heard it from a guy, but I actually know the father in question personally, and while I heard it from my friend first, I've talked with his father about it as well. So, here we go. It happened in early 2000s in a small town in the middle of nowhere in Eastern Europe where I grew up. Our small town is surrounded by even smaller villages, and the family of my friend owns a house in one of those villages. They use it as a summer vacation spot and also grow vegetables and berry bushes, and the place needs maintenance, so during the summer, they are often there for one reason or another. So on one weekend, the father of my friend was there by himself for something, and he decided to go back as it was already dark. He got into his car and drove back to town. Now, there are no streetlights or really any light sources on these roads, so the only thing to see is a patch of the road illuminated by headlights. But at some point, somewhere in the front and to the side of him in the field, he saw something. It was a circle of light shining down onto the grass, coming from somewhere above. He couldn't see what it was coming out of, but his initial thought was that it was probably a light attached to a helicopter.
Sensible.
Now encountering... Sorry.
Just said sensible. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So encountering a helicopter is pretty common around our town. We have a, in quotes, secret airbase not too far away, and they fly around pretty regularly. And I would like to expand on this if either of you have insight on this.
Yeah.
It's like one of those, that. Like, I imagine, like, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base that's, like, everybody knows the Air Force Base is there, but it's also supposed to be, like, secretly doing secret alien tech and stuff like that. Everybody knows it's there, but it's also classified, like, Area 51.
Now that I think about it, I used to work in Moon in Pittsburgh, which is, like, right by the Civic Airport. But I think there is also an air base near there that, like, all the roads are sort of routed around it, and there's not really... Yep. There's probably a sign, like, at the front, but they don't really... Yeah,
it has, a ghostly presence. It has a notorious presence, right?
Well, they don't have an Instagram is the main reason no one knows about them. Because that's
no community events, no farmers markets.
I put secret in quotes because while it once was meant to be hidden, it's away from all main roads and hidden from view by trees on all sides. In the age of satellite imaging, it is not so secret anymore and you can easily find it. But back to my friend's father. While at first he thought it was a helicopter, he wasn't hearing a helicopter. Sure, he was in a car with the engine turned on, but from that distance you would certainly hear it. I agree, Yoko the Changeling, my mysterious friend. I wonder what your navigation ability would be in Sonic. No, sorry.
Do you think that they have a home form as a changeling? Or do you think that, yeah, you know, like maybe they present as a hedgehog, but like really they're like some kind of goo or something like Matrix from Superman.
I would love an Odo the Changeling from Star Trek drawn in the Sonic style.
Yes. Yes.
Like an extreme, the circular Sonic Adventure Sonic, but it's Odo.
That'd be awesome.
I've never related more to a character design. Now, my friend's father didn't think much of it. It was far away from the road and he was going to be gone from here in minutes anyway. But then the light started moving towards the road his car was driving on. He still kept driving, seeing that with the speed it's moving, it will pass over the road way before he gets there, assuming that it will probably just fly by the road and keep flying onto the field on the other side. He even thought, maybe he'll see what the light is coming from while it's flying by. But once the light had reached the road ahead, it stopped. And that's when my friend's father started to get worried. He quickly stopped his car. While there was still some distance between his car and the light, he did not want to get any closer to it. He hoped that it would just fly away, but it kept hovering above the road. And I'm realizing now that this is describing the setup to The Greatest American Hero, where the light shines above them and gives them magic pajamas.
Yeah.
But I suppose even if that was what happened, the friend's father wouldn't be allowed to talk about it. You know, he's not allowed for his secret to get out. Rather, I should say that my friend's father only saw the circle of light on the road and was only assuming that something must be hovering above it. The road was small, just barely big enough for two cars to not crash into each other as they passed by, and the light was covering the entire road, even lighting up some grass on the sides. It was still quiet. There was no noticeable sound coming from this light. He and the light sat like this for some seconds or minutes. He was getting more and more worried, and he's not sure how long the stalemate lasted, but eventually the light started to move again, and to my friend's father's horror, it was moving toward his car. In a mad panic, he started turning the car around, and as soon as he could, he slammed the gas in the opposite from light direction. In the rearview mirror, he saw that the light was gaining onto him for a moment, but as his car gained speed, it started to fall behind and sometime later was gone from view entirely. He kept driving, though. He had no intentions of turning back, which meant he now had to find a different road to get back to town. It took him almost a whole extra hour to find his way back to town, and by that time, it was already past midnight. Once he was back home, as my friend says, he was pale and he wasn't talking. He went into the kitchen and he sat there, calming down, and only after some minutes of catching his breath did he tell what had happened. He doesn't know what the light was, but obviously everybody, including my friend, instantly jumped to a UFO theory. This, I think, is a good time to mention that while I'm not super close with my friend's father, I at least know he is not the type to make things up, and I haven't heard any kind of story like this from him before or since. And when we talked about it, he genuinely felt shook and confused about the whole thing. And while the UFO theory sounds compelling, I'd like to shine a light on another possibility. While this doesn't fully explain it, since some details don't quite add up, as I've mentioned, there is a secret airbase nearby, and as you know, a lot of technology is first used in the military before being brought to civil markets. So, what if it was an early drone prototype? While drones aren't silent, they are much quieter than a helicopter, and it's possible not to hear one over the engine of a cheap car with bad cabin soundproofing. It can also easily carry a light and not be visible in the night. The only details that don't add up are that it's early 2000s. I feel like this is a bit too early for any kind of drones, but maybe some historians of military tech can pitch in.
Maybe
I know they show up
in
Metal Gear Solid 2. Sorry. Yeah. I mean, those are obviously not real.
We just talked about the 1956 drone that was used as a gunner or whatever, because it was radio controlled back.
Yeah, the Palmdale one was a drone.
It's just like an old school drone controlled by radio wave and stuff. But they had drones then. It was the size of an airplane, kind of.
And even though the Metal Gear Solid 2 drone isn't a real drone, like,
it must have been based on some sort
Looks enough like a real drone that I believe that there were things that looked kind of like the drones we know, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another detail is, if it was a secret drone prototype, why would it go towards a car on the road? It definitely saw it and intentionally went for it, and it kept going as it was driving away. If it was some secret test, wouldn't it be flying away from potential witnesses? I'm not sure, but that's the story. I hope it was an interesting read. And I think it's clear to me what happened. Weather balloon.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, easy. Easy.
My dad
really
seemed so lonely in the early 2000s, and now I know why.
He was looking for that light was trying to pick him up. It was trying to chat him up. Well, the thing is, military tech, Eastern European country, in the early 2000s, in a small town in the middle of nowhere with a secret base.
It's Chateauloup.
Yeah, it could be.
Explanation.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I'm just like, nothing about it, like, if you did encounter something you weren't supposed to see, wouldn't they chase you for a minute? Wouldn't they chase you off at least?
Yeah.
And they might even want to like test their capabilities of it too.
Yeah. So, you know, kind of spooky, kind of good. I like that. Yeah. It doesn't feel that UFO coded, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, that's why I like it. It was like just weird enough where it's like, yeah. Those are the kinds of stories that stick out though.
Yoka.
The small amount of, not motivation, but like, agency that the light has gives me a lot of, that's fun.
When
Doomsday hits Supergirl in the death of Superman, she reverts to her like original form.
Can I just say Matrix Supergirl, best Supergirl. She's I've never felt closer to a comic character.
I like Matrix Supergirl just fine. I didn't know that she was Matrix when I first read The Death of Superman.
That rules.
Yeah, so when Doomsday just punches her and she like explodes into like a clay, like I don't know, doll form, it like blew me away. But that's what I can't stop thinking about when I'm thinking about Yoko the Changeling.
I'm into it. Yoko the Changeling, I want to read your miniseries.
Yeah, I want to read that 6-issue Sonic adjacent Archie comic starring spy, kind of like a Wildstorm comic. All right, Abby, thank you so much for joining us again.
Alex, Mike, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah, hopefully thank you, listener, for supporting us on Patreon. We love you. And if you are listening to this in the far future, go check out Abby's new show at the Hollywood Fringe Festival next year that she's going to do. Yes. And
tentative title Bunny Girl.
Okay. Ooh, okay. Look at that. And what if this like completely works out as a plug for your show Bunny Girl for next year?
I would be so happy.
Yeah. That would be amazing. We'll see you there. See you guys later.
Thank you guys so much. Appreciate you. Love you. Bye.
Bye.